The night shift on Triple M. Now, AI, artificial intelligence, is a hot topic right now. So how will this AI change our workplace? And can it really replace a human? Well, the most important skills we need to develop are still human, and there you are, and not a bot or AI. So here to explain more, Craig Johns, the workplace relations and leadership expert on the program, and he's here right now. G'day, Craig.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
I'm good. So I guess that's a bit of a relief when I see that and read that about AI, because there's a lot of buzz about it replacing humans, and it will change the way we sort of operate in our workplace, but it's about working alongside AI. Is that basically it?
Yeah, I think, look, I mean, obviously technology, artificial intelligence, everything is here to stay, and there's some amazing technologies out there that are really making a difference to humans' lives. You know, a lot of artificial intelligence being used in the medical industry that are helping us be able to predict different, you know, potential medical issues, but also help them solve them a lot faster. And we're seeing a lot of, you know, a lot of technology come out that's helping productivity. But also, you know, with everything there's good in this world, there's potential evil as well. And so it's about how we harness it. So there's a lot of responsibility required from both just human beings, but also employers and the way we harness and use technology in this world. And so it's going to be important for everyone to ensure that human intelligence always stays, you know, a step or two ahead of artificial intelligence as we move forward to ensure that we're doing lots of good in this world and not creating harm.
Absolutely agreed. That's right. There's good and there's the bad. So do we need to go through a process of learning ourselves? You're right. We can harness the power of this for medical progress and that sort of thing. So we need to, as a workplace or as humans, almost test and learn. Is that the phase we're in now?
Yeah, there's a lot of testing involved. Obviously, there's a lot of accuracy issues with some of the artificial intelligence people are focused on right now, with things like ChatGPT and other open AI stuff. And there's lots of great good and things like that in regards to the way it can help us research things, synthesize information quicker. And so we do need to learn it. And it's interesting, you know, people think that artificial intelligence is going to replace a lot of roles in this world. And it's not so much. It's more the people that are going to need to be hired in the future are going to be those that can, that already understand artificial intelligence and can utilize it, harness it well. So if you're trying to stay relevant in this world just as a human being, and you haven't invested time into understanding more about what technology can do, and especially artificial intelligence, then it's going to limit your opportunities as employees in the future. And I think even for employers, you know, for companies, the ability to be able to process things a lot faster, be able to understand the industry better, is going to require their knowledge of artificial intelligence and new technologies, and to stay up with it and really understand what is going to help harness more performance and productivity, and what may hinder you as well, because just because we can doesn't mean we always should.
Great tip there, you know, as you say, to stay up with it, and it's here, you know, because it's easy to resist it and say, oh, there's this new thing out there and I'm not just not going to, you know, get on board, but it's there. And the best thing to do is understand it and stay up with it if you want to sort of excel in the workplace. So it's another tool we can use create the goals that we want to and objectives as humans, Craig.
Yeah, 100%. 100% is there to help us. And, you know, we've obviously got to think about as human beings, you know, the big questions going forward, I really think, are what does it mean to be human? And what skills do we need as a human being? But most importantly, even to look at what our decision-making process is. I had a great conversation with John Yeo, who's the curator of TEDx Melbourne, a couple of weeks ago on a podcast, and we were talking about, you know, that fact of, you know, understanding what does it mean to how we make decisions as humans, and to really think back about maybe how we've done that the past thousands of years, because now it's being exposed. When we put it into technology and something's autonomously or artificially intelligently making those decisions, it actually exposes the rawness of how we've made decisions in the past. So the big key skills from a human point of view that are going to be absolutely critical, and they're not new, but they're rising to the fore, are things like our ability to analyze things, you know, our curiosity, being able to look at bias detection, and even our evaluating things creatively. So our emotional intelligence and human intelligence, those real communication, critical thinking, decision-making skills, we have to up our game. And, you know, because we are putting things into processes, and if we're going to, you know, put in data or put in prompts that are going to make decisions for us in the future, we need to really think, are they effective? Are they accurate? And as human beings, are we okay with it?
As adults, I'm thinking this, you're right, we need to understand the way we make decisions, and it's interesting how this has exposed that, and that way we need to look at it. But what about our young people, Craig? I think about my youngest who mentioned AI to me. Do they understand it? Will it sort of, you know, they'll think, oh, well, there's this tool, and they'll just use it, but not have the awareness that you need to also inject those elements you talk about as a human and emotional intelligence. Will it affect the young people who just don't get it?
Potentially. I mean, I'm hoping schools and the education system are really focused on, you know, things like critical analysis and bias detection. And because now, obviously, schooling has shifted away from, here, go and rote learn this or go and research this, because now you can use computer to research the information. It's now how do you understand it? Does it make sense? Is it accurate? Being able to temperature check, I suppose, the information we're using or even the technology we're using. I think we're in a fascinating space where, you know, even look at my generation and sort of older generations in a way, if you kind of think of it that way, is we created the space for this digital to come through. We're the ones who created the space for the way that kids think and behave now. And so thinking of those generations, I kind of get the feeling that they're just going to get overwhelmed with all the digital side of things and actually want some space away from digital in the future.
So we're kind
of at a really interesting space where it may tip the other way, and they're going to thrive in a lot more human interactions and think about the human intelligence, because they've just been engrossed in the digital world their whole entire life. So they want that social sense. They want to understand things more. So I think it's a fascinating time right now to really harness and help our future generations to be more human and socially interact more human, and use the digital not as the way of being, but as a tool instead.
Yes. And is that why there's this list here of the blurb that you was sent to me? So, we might flip back to just actually being human and the awareness of now how we make decisions. So we've got this top five list of the obstacles to productivity in the workplace. So now we can focus on these things like not having intelligent meetings, goal clarity, too many meetings, feeling uninspired, and lacking information when needed. So now these sorts of lists are things that we should focus on. Now, you know, we have AI there as well to assist.
Yeah, 100%. You know, look, and a lot of these have come out. That was from the 2023 Work Trend Index that Microsoft did. I mean, Deloitte have done workforce kind of index research and reports earlier this year. And a lot of it we're seeing is coming out is based on what was exposed during COVID, where we thought by shortening meetings we'd have less, but we tended to have a lot more. But people are realizing that they want to spend their time usefully and purposefully. And so it means that our leaders and those that are setting meetings have to be really, really on the ball in a way to make sure there is purpose behind, there is a reason, and to stop doing so many. You know, if someone doesn't need to be in a meeting, they're not going to be there to make a decision, etc., then don't include them. You know, give people more space to have more productive time and to make those human decisions in a way. Allow the artificial intelligence and technology to do the mundane things that we find boring, and really don't require a human to process them. I think that's going to be crucial.
And just back to technology, taking jobs away, Craig, this is a national overnight program listeners from all walks of life, of course, including many professional drivers, truckies and those sorts of things. There's been discussion about robot trucks, you know, this technology getting automated trucks on the road and replacing drivers. So you and me are talking about, okay, so we need, when we make decisions, there's always a human element. But what about sort of the boss thinking, well, this is going to save me money. I'm going to embrace this new technology and now I can replace, you know, some of my workforce. What do you say to people who are thinking that?
I'd be looking at jobs where, you know, I think obviously as we, you know, focus on the future, and we're at a time where jobs are being changed or replaced faster than they ever have before. We've always had this, you know, a lot of jobs go out of date over the years, but it's just with technology, it's sped up a little bit. I think we're seeing a lot of employers jumping the gun right now, you know, and trying to replace too quickly without understanding the reason for replacing a human being. So one, is it going to enhance the efficiency and economy of a business? But two, is it also going to do the same for the customer? If it, you know, for instance, if we think about QR codes in restaurants, sure, they have made things more efficient from a client, from an employee perspective, because it means less people on the floor, they can be doing other things. But it takes a lot of extra time in most cases for the person sitting at the table, and so it becomes inconvenient for the customer. So right. Have they really solved the problem? Maybe not. About predicting, we're just going to have to predict the future a little bit more and take a bit of a punt and not be comfortable in all our roles. There are going to be some human roles that are always going to stay there. You know, leadership roles are always going to be there. But we just need to think in our role, could this be replaced? You know, is this a task that could be replaced by technology? If yes, then start thinking about how you could be upskilled and maybe what you find passionate and purposeful in life that you could do, maybe in the same industry or maybe even switch industries. Yes. You can't just wait until it's replaced. You've got to start early. You have to be proactive.
Yeah, good advice there. It's tough, but I mean, there's been many industries which have been disrupted and changed over the last sort of, in recent times. The media, for example, you know, has changed thanks to, you know, digital advertising, that sort of stuff. And in my own life, you've had to adjust. So it's really about just accepting what is and adjusting to that environment and learning and embracing something new and sort of acting now, as tough as it is to sometimes make a change, Craig.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And just be open, I think. You know, some people get so caught up in like, oh, this is all I do, this is what I love. But it's like, you know what? Be open. And you're here for a short time in this world, so why not have a go at a few different things and give yourself the opportunity. And maybe you'll even surprise yourself at what you can learn and what you may be interested in. So that's a bit of a challenge to people out there as well. You know, don't be caught up on, I want to be a truck driver my whole entire life. You know, try some other things. You'll be surprised.
Craig Johns joins us on the program. This is Triple M The Night Shift, workplace relations and leadership expert. We're talking about AI, what are we talking about? AI replacing humans and the fact that we make decisions different to AI. Now, I had a futurist on the program, Craig, who spoke about quantum computers, which blew my mind, and he sort of explained that computers, normal computers, make decisions by like in a linear way, you know, just sort of does it, you know, line by line. But these quantum computers can do many, many things all simultaneously, you know, you put quantum computers alongside AI, and it's just like a whole brand new level. Isn't it? What do you know about that space, and what's going on there?
Oh, look, it's just going to process things faster. You know, your ability to research, do a skill, what may have taken, you know, 6 hours to do a task with a computer may now take you 2 or 3 minutes. So it's just going to speed up the whole process. So it allows us to do more, which is absolutely great in this world. And I think people should be harnessing that ability to do something like that, because it then opens up new opportunities, greater, you know, potential for more business, more work, more opportunities. So, I say harness it.
There you are.
Quantum computing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that seems to be the message and theme of our discussion here. Harness it. It's coming. Try to see the opportunity in it. I'll give you an example. I just remember what my son said to me. So is this me embracing what is, or am I resisting it? He wanted me to take him somewhere, and I was just finishing off an email. I said, Finny, just let me finish this email off, and off we go. And he said to me, oh, you know you can use, I think it was ChatGPT, to answer the emails, Dad, where you just sort of say, respond to this email for me. And I thought to myself, why would I get some computer to respond to my email for me? Because, you know, it's me and I got to say it and read it. And he said that somebody else was doing it. So is that the right reaction from me, or should I be saying, oh, that's interesting, I'll use that as a tool? But I just couldn't get my head around why I'd get a bloody machine to respond to my email, like Craig.
Look, I'm concerned when I hear about you people using a machine to answer your emails. One of the things I find fascinating is when I look at, people receiving emails or a written letter or a card from me, people always remark about how I always have a human touch and it's so rare. I think nowadays we think about productivity that we just need to get straight to the point in a message, in a text message, we only write short amounts. But just by adding a human touch and building relationships is going to be key. And I think it's going to become more important in the future. If you really want to develop long-term business relationships, more in-depth relationships with your employees or colleagues, or team members, then you need to add that human element and that care factor. You know, people always love it when you care about them. And it doesn't need to be much. It's just, you know, how was your weekend? I heard you were away in Dunedin in the snow. You know, how was it? Was it fun? Like just those little touches make a big difference. And a computer can't do those.
Craig, how was your weekend? I heard you were in Dunedin in the snow. That's the weekend, because that's where you are.
Yeah, it's snowing. It's snowing a lot here, and the hills are white, which is pretty rare in Dunedin. You don't normally get it down at sea level or even in the hills. So, real pleasure to sit in front of the fire. May mean I'm a bit delayed getting to my next destination with the family, but I can't beat snowflakes falling down. They're pretty big.
Sounds gorgeous. Well, thank you, mate. Great discussion. We appreciate your time here on Triple M, the night shift. Craig Johns, workplace relations and leadership expert. Thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome, Pat. Have a great day.